are listening to Earth Oddity, a weekly odyssey into all the oddity planet Earth has to offer. And now, serving it up are Christopher Tiny Sullivan and John Wong.
Hey, everybody. It's Earth Oddity Podcast.
Take two.
Take two. You should put all that first part just in the Patreon.
I wasn't recording. Or I did start recording, but I actually cleared my card before we restarted.
Well, you guys missed some good stuff. Tiny was saying the N-word. That's why we had to start over.
And by N-word, I mean
Nazgul. Oh, no. Your microphone's broken.
Yeah, we had a mic. We've been using it for 5 years.
Yeah.
And it just...
Old faithful.
It quit tonight.
Decided so it was done.
I get to go to the sound dork at church. Oh, yeah. And go, hey, tell me again about that mic that you were trying to talk me into trying out.
We'll just use this one.
Well, or we could just use that one. Although that one goes, or this one goes.
We're out of luck. Yeah. We'll have to share a microphone. We'll have to pass it back and forth.
Well, how has your week been?
It's been a good week. A little long, but not a bad week. We bought Hudson a car.
Well, congratulations to Hudson.
His birthday's tomorrow, so sweet 16. Mm-hmm. Ooh, news on the Hudson front. He broke up with his girlfriend yesterday.
Oh, man, he's been dating her for a while, hasn't
yeah,
he?
I think they were like 6 or 7 months in.
Yeah, she hung around for a long time.
Yeah, he brought it up like back at the beginning of the week, and you know, I was just like, well, look, man, you gotta make your own choice here. I can't make it for you.
Right.
He's like, well, I think, you know, she just don't act like she's that into me anymore and blah blah blah. And so he was like, I think I'll break up with her this weekend. And I was like, okay, well, I would tell her to come over here and do it, since you don't have a car, because if I'd have to take you over there and then come back and pick you up, there could be some awkward time waiting for your dad to get back to the house. So he brought her, or he called her over, and then he was like, I'm just going to go out and meet her in her car and do it out there. Not even going to let her in the house. And so she got there at 3:00 yesterday on the dot. He walked back in the house at 3:02. Like,
that didn't take no time.
Ripped the Band-Aid off. And Deidre was like, because, you know, Deidre's a girl. She's all worried about the girl, you know. And she's like, how's Bree? And he's like, well, I don't know. I left her in the car crying. But he felt horrible. He still feels bad about it, because he didn't want to, like, hurt her. But he was just like, hey, she doesn't act like she's that into me, you know.
Well, I mean... I don't know, you know, what Hudson's gay, like what he's going off of, but it has been my experience that at some point, no matter who you're with, she's not really into you anymore.
Well,
or at least she's going to act like she's not.
When he was like, I was like, well, what's wrong with Bree? You know, I was like, because I like Bree. I think she's a cool girl. And he was like, well, she just acts like she's not into me anymore. And I was like, buddy, I know how you feel.
When is the last time you've seen mom come in and like throw her arms around me and sit in my lap?
Right. Just fired
up. While we watch
TV. Just fired up at me. When we talked about a lot about that, it's like, hey, you know, eventually all the infatuation wears off. Mm-hmm. And that's when you really have to think about, well, is this somebody I really want to be with? And I think he decided no. He would see what his options were.
I mean, he's had a lot of girlfriends.
Hudson,
so it may
he's
be
a player.
It may be a situation where he's kind of, you know, he likes that new relationship, that new relationship smell.
Right. I asked him if he had anybody lined up. He's like, there's a few in the roster that I might pull up to the starting team. And I was like, okay, well, whatever, man. You know, I'm you make your own decision.
If I was Thomas, I would go to school and tell everybody he dumped her because he was getting a car. He didn't need her to give him a ride anymore.
Didn't need a ride anymore. Yeah. Thomas is so ready for Hudson to get his license, which he turns 16 tomorrow, but I got all day meetings tomorrow and Wednesday, so I can't take him to get his license.
Right.
We're going to try to go Friday morning if we can get all the documents together, because you got to prove they're enrolled in school and have two proof of residencies and all this stuff that you have to, I don't know, the state of Alabama for some reason makes it the hardest thing in the world to get a driver's license. out of all the things you can buy a gun
yes.
with nothing, but you got to provide all this stuff to get a license. So Friday morning, hopefully we're going to take him over. Cause Thomas is like, I'm so tired of driving him to school every day. And I'm like, y'all go to the same school. It's a 3-minute trip.
He can't stand that 3 minutes.
Well, Thomas wants to leave at 7:15 on the dot. Mm-hmm. Thomas and his mom are the same person.
Right.
Hudson and me are the same person. Hudson's like, if we leave at, you know, 7:17, we're never late for school anyways. Well, that ain't good enough for Thomas because he set the time to leave at 7:15 and that's when it's supposed to be. So Hudson, I think knowingly knows that it bothers Thomas. And so he's always like dragging to get out of the door and everything.
Thomas Which is not helpful.
No, right. Like I try to tell both of them, like, y'all got to be cool. Like Thomas, you have to be a little more understanding. Hudson, you have to like meet Thomas in the middle. He's your ride to school.
Right.
You know? I like the point I made to Hudson is, if your buddies told you to be ready at 7:15, you would be ready with your shoes on, standing at the door waiting mm-hmm. on them. You know, it's like, just because it's your brother, you shouldn't treat him any differently.
And if your brother was, if you were giving him a ride to school,
yeah.
like if his car's in the shop and right. he's depending on you, that's when you can drag your feet and take your time and get under his skin.
But Thomas is so ready to be done being Hudson's morning ride to school.
Mm.
Hudson's ready to be done too. He's like, I want to listen to the Grateful Dead on the way to school or whatever. And Thomas,
he might get in like a quarter of a song.
Yes. Right. Oh yeah. So we got him a car and it's in the driveway. And now we're going to have four cars in a driveway. Well, Deidre parks in a garage because she's selfish and she won't let anybody else park in the garage. We're going to have three cars in the driveway that is about as long as this table.
Mm.
But I'm not going to park on the street. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do like your neighbors over here.
You should do it.
Nah. No, New York wouldn't be able to. I'm too close to her for her to be able to take it. She'd be posted in the Facebook group all the time, which... The dog behind us was barking last night a lot, and I wanted to get on Facebook and be like, hey, lady, you should probably be more worried about the dog next door to you than my dog barking.
Right.
But I did. I'm not stirring all that up. I saw her in the yard, though, the other day because I looped around that way. They have a big Trump 2020 sign hanging in their garage like a flag.
So strike one.
Yeah. I was like, I already don't like you, lady. So, but she hadn't complained anymore about Jay. I don't know if she's just like, there's nothing I can do about it or she,
I mean, well, when me and you talked about this earlier,
yeah,
you, if I don't want to mischaracterize your statements, but what I kind of walked away from the conversation thinking is maybe she was just having a bad day or something because Jay is not as loud as,
right.
as she was acting like.
Yeah. The queen of the HOA is my direct next door neighbor.
You'd think that if someone had a problem with Jay, right. it would be her.
Yeah.
And it wasn't her.
Right. Which, strangely, your friends that live up at the front of the neighborhood, I met them one time.
Well, yeah. Them.
Yeah. Let's tell her name, everybody. The woman of that relationship was in the front yard the other day or in Denise's front yard talking to her. When I got home from work mm-hmm. and then I left at like 7:30 to go get Hudson. Yeah. From a basketball game. And they were still out there talking.
Mm.
I don't know what HOA issue was going on, but I was like, man, I hope this isn't anything to do with my dog. I just kept my head down, acting like I didn't see him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. So happy birthday to my son, Hudson. So glad he's 16 for real. He's a miracle. I don't talk about it a lot. You know, he's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad he's 16 and I've had 16 years of him.
And you got to go to Hawaii.
Yeah. Got to go to Hawaii on his dime. That's always great. If you can get a Make-A-Wish, definitely get one. Don't do like old Gypsy Rose. What was her name? Yeah. Gypsy.
It was Gypsy Rose.
Yeah.
That's it.
And meet Miranda Lambert. Like, what kind of idiots are they?
Did she do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That
now
was
about back when she wasn't sick, but her mama had everybody was telling her.
Yeah.
thinking she was sick.
They chose to meet Miranda Lambert. Out of all the things you could do, Like, they were like trying to talk Hudson to that. Like, yeah, well, you can meet LeBron James or whatever. I was like, I want to go to Australia.
He's like, I saw the new Space Jam. It wasn't like, that great.
Like, I'm not an idiot, guys. I'm going to get my money's worth out of this. Yeah. And then they banned worldwide trip because of COVID. Thank you, China. We could have went to Australia. That was the original plan.
Huh.
And then they were like, well, we can't fly you outside of the United States.
Dang.
So then it turned into what's the farthest away of the United States we could go for Hudson.
And what if Hudson's dying wish was for Nick Saban to coach 5 more seasons at Alabama?
Just make a wish.
Yes. I wish that Nick Saban wasn't retiring yet.
Well, it's the DeBoer era now, and we're winning everything. I'm convinced. I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, World War III is about to kick off in the Middle East. The Civil War is about to kick off in Texas. In
Texas.
And the only thing I'm worried about is what Alabama's going to look like next year on the football field.
Well, I mean, look, priorities.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what's important.
Absolutely.
Look, the Palestinians and the Israelis are going to fight.
There was a drone attack on some U.S. troops, you know, today.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Didn't killed three that. Of them.
Okay.
I think the Iran, their little guys, they're getting a little fired up over there.
Yeah, it's until I would like to see all the killing and all the fighting stop.
Yeah.
But nobody asked me.
No.
You know, and it from my perspective, it seems like that's just going to rage on until one of them is gone.
That's right. Well, that's what happens when a woman listens to a snake.
Yes.
Have you seen that comedian?
Also, Hamas, do they not know how good Israel is at killing people?
I just think
they're really, really good.
Hamas is like Mississippi State. And like every, you know, 10 years, they're going to have a good squad. And they're like, this is our year to beat Alabama. We're going all in this year. And this is our year. And they're still getting stomped.
And their 1 year was to basically do a 9/11.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yes. But there's a comedian, I can't remember his name, but he was like, everybody says it was Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. He's mm-hmm. like, but I kind of wish it was Adam and Steve, because I bet you Steve would have been stomping on that snake the second it was like, get on out of here, get. Yes.
Also, if it had been Steve, I would have been like, no, you eat it. Yeah, right. No, you eat it.
You eat it.
No, you eat it.
Yeah, well, I wanted to tell that joke in Sunday school because we're studying Genesis. Do y'all use the preferred Lifeway Sunday school curriculum at your church now?
No.
Oh, wow. Heretical.
They're just going through Matthew.
Oh, man.
And when we're done, we're done. Oh. We'll get there when we get there.
We're in Genesis.
Okay.
And yeah, when we got to that part, I wanted to tell that joke, but I was like, that's a little too edgy.
Y'all are back to the basics. Huh?
Yeah, we're back to the beginning. It's getting wild, though.
Oh, because, boy.
Well, you know, our Sunday school teacher, he loves to watch some YouTube videos. We made it to the Nephilim the other day.
I was about to say, I mean, I can't interpret scripture.
No.
When Jesus says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And when Jesus says, unless your righteousness is greater than that of the Pharisees, I get that.
Sure.
But when you're talking about, like, you know, Genesis, especially the early chapters.
Right.
And especially if you're interpreting it all literal, like 100% literal.
Yeah.
There's some wild stuff in there.
There's some super wild stuff. And we've had some new visitors. And I was be like, maybe we shouldn't get into all of, you know, like what the Nephilim may or may not be or any of that, though.
It is my understanding that Nephilim is a word that apparently they knew what it was when they wrote it down, but we don't know what it is anymore.
Right.
So it's anybody's guess what
anybody's
what it is.
Guess.
Yes.
Right. Anybody's guess. And a lot of people are guessing. I'm not saying they're wrong either.
Right.
I think that's all plausible, you know.
But for all we know, it could have been like a tribe of people called the Nephilim.
Definitely. It could have just been another tribe.
What if
for sure.
What if it was a tribe of super like short people who were like just cranky.
Cranky dwarves.
Yes.
That would be funny. Yeah. I think, you know, like I've said, I think we're going to get a question and answer time when we get to heaven, and God's going to be like, yeah, y'all are totally wrong about us Nephilim. They were just a bunch of dwarves.
They didn't have magical powers. Right. They didn't craft the rings of power.
Yes. But yeah, so we're going through Genesis, and yeah, we've hit Noah's Ark. That was a big one. We got a whole Ark Encounter slideshow on that
one. Oh boy.
Yeah, that was great. That was good.
I have so far managed to avoid the Ark.
I have too.
But at some point,
you know, it's coming.
I'm not going to be able to escape.
Every once in a while, Deidre will be like, I think I would like to go see the Ark in Kentucky. And I'm like, that's a pretty long drive, babe. Let's, we can get to Gatlinburg in half that time.
And probably spend the same amount of money.
Yeah, right. Now, look, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. I believe in a global flood. I don't want y'all to think I'm dunking on the Ark.
At the very least, I believe there was a flood large enough to affect nearly all, if not all, of humanity at the time.
Right.
Because every ancient culture
has a
flood account.
Yes.
Of some type.
Exactly. I believe that. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody writing nasty emails to me.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in Noah's Ark, and it's a pretty gruesome story when you think about it. It's wild we tell it to our kids, give them coloring sheets about it. Pretty gruesome.
This is when God decided to kill all of humanity,
yeah,
except Noah and his kids.
Yeah, Noah's families. Kids and their wives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty wild story. Yeah. I don't know how we got from Hudson breaking up with his girlfriend to Noah's Ark, but I'm glad we did.
I was about to say, it was Genesis in Sunday school.
Yeah.
I don't know why we brought that up.
I don't remember. I don't either. Oh, because I was talking about I wanted to make that Adam and Steve joke.
Oh, yes. Like,
bet Steve wouldn't be dumb enough to talk to a snake.
All of this from an Adam and Steve joke.
Yeah. But I didn't, because I didn't want to get, you know, I didn't want to get ran out for making a potentially pro-LGBTQ joke in Sunday school.
Or it could be taken that way.
Yeah, it could be interpreted that way. Yeah. I did make the joke when they were talking about, you know, well, Adam ate the fruit too, you know.
And yeah.
Everybody was like, yeah, you know, how could he do that? I was like,
she was naked.
Yeah, she was naked. I was like, every man in here will do anything a naked woman asks them to do.
Yeah.
And everybody laughed at that. They thought that was really funny. I was like, yeah, that's just how it goes, guys. Yeah. So anyways,
how about news this week? What we got?
Okay. I got a McDonald's story. Of course, everybody loves McDonald's. We're going to talk about Amelia Earhart.
Okay.
And let's see, what was my other one? Oh, we got a Dunkin' Donuts story.
All right.
Two out of three fast food stories.
Nice. I have a story about dueling senators. I have a story about a Colorado pastor, but I was going to start with this one. Amish horse and buggy stolen from Walmart parking lot while family shopped.
So but that news to me, Amish can shop at Walmart.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, they got to get their Trump 2020 flag somewhere.
Sure. Or you can't like churn up 2-liter Mountain Dews. You got to go to Walmart for that.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, you probably want sugar.
Sure.
Maybe some canned goods.
Yeah. Flour. Stuff like that. All that good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
An Amish family had their horse and buggy stolen while they shopped at a Michigan Walmart, police say. The theft took place on Saturday at approximately 5:30 p.m. in the town of Sturgis, Michigan, some 95 miles south of Grand Rapids near the Indiana border, when the Sturgis Department of Public Safety were called to the Walmart on 1500 Street Centerville Road to the report of a stolen Amish buggy and horse from the establishment's parking lot. A truck driver parked in the Walmart parking lot had seen a female steal the buggy, according to a statement from the public safety department. He gave police a description of the female suspect. As it turns out, police had already made contact with the 31-year-old female suspect earlier in the day at the same Walmart, The officials did not elaborate on why they had spoken to her or what the reason behind her contact was. Police eventually found the stolen horse and buggy later the same evening and were able to find the alleged unnamed suspect at a nearby motel where she was arrested without incident, according to authorities.
At a motel? She thinks she clippity-clopped on over there?
I mean, I wonder if it was in the... I guess you just park it in the parking lot, right?
I like to think of it as like a roadside motel with the doors, you know, facing the parking lot.
And she gets out and like hitches it up to like a newspaper machine. Well, they don't sell newspapers like that.
Like
no more.
Banister something. Or something. To the air conditioning unit.
The ice machine.
Yeah.
She like just opens it for them so they can like eat out of it.
Yes.
The suspect was subsequently lodged at the St. Joseph's County Jail on charges of larceny and larceny of livestock.
Yeah, a horse theft is no joke, baby.
I mean, she's lucky the sheriff didn't round up a posse and go after her.
Yeah.
Hang her from a traffic light. She is currently pending arraignment. The horse was returned to the family along with their buggy following the incident, and police said the animal was unharmed during the ordeal. So, I mean, is there no shame?
Well, yeah. Well, you steal it from the Amish.
Well, I will say this. Yeah, I would imagine if you're going to steal a car or steal a horse and buggy, while you would rather steal the car, is probably more difficult.
Yeah, definitely. And the horse, you just give him a little. Yeah. Come on, giddy up. Get up. Yo, ho, boy. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But. Like, stealing from the Amish has got to be up there with trying to kill the Pope of things that will get you straight into hell, you know?
You think so?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The Amish ain't hurting anybody, right?
I mean, I don't think so. Yeah. They've certainly never bothered me.
Yeah, they don't. They stay away from me, too. We know the Mennonites don't like me. That's the closest we got down here.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't steal from the Amish. And you can't take a man's horse. That was established a long time ago.
Well, she can steal from the sure. Amish, but we'll see.
You can't go to a roadside motel, try to sleep it off or whatever she's doing. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, how do you, well, I don't know. I mean, maybe if they, maybe you think that maybe they thought she was Amish. I'm thinking if you ride up into the parking lot with your little horse and buggy.
Right.
And then you go in there.
You're wearing like a Nike t-shirt and some shorts.
You got to look the part. You don't want him calling police.
Yes. You're checking in under like your name, Tiffany, instead of, yes. You know, Sarah or some biblical name.
Yeah. Rehoboth.
Rahab.
Yes. That's does anyone name their...
No.
Surely no one names their kids Rahab, do they?
No. You will talk about somebody who can't get away from their past. That's Rahab.
She went down in history as the most beloved harlot ever.
All time. Did some good things. We never talk... We don't put that in her name. We only talk about her being a harlot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did good things for the nation of Israel.
Sure, yeah.
I'm sure her own people weren't too happy with her. But
no, they weren't.
But, I mean, they probably all called her a whore, so she didn't care.
She was a harlot. Yeah. She's like, these people don't like me. You guys come on in. Yeah, well, you can't steal from the Amish. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the wrong thing to do. Amish seem like solid people. I have no interact. I don't think I've ever interacted with an Amish person in my life.
Yeah, they're solid because they do everything manually.
Yeah, right. They're just like, hey, we're going to do our thing. We're going to leave y'all alone. Y'all leave us alone. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's cool to me. I'm happy with those people. So, yeah, don't be stealing from them. Well, where do we want to start? I'll start with this one because it's not like a funny. It's more interesting than anything else. An ex-U.S. Air Force pilot claims he may have located lost Amelia Earhart plane.
Wow. Okay.
That's right. A modern-day ocean explorer has claimed to have possibly solved one of the great mysteries of modern aviation by publishing sonar images, which he claimed may show the wreckage of the airplane flown by Amelia Earhart at the bottom of the Pacific. I have trouble saying that. Earhart's plane disappeared over the Pacific in 1937 as she sought to become the first woman to fly around the world. Ever since then, mystery has surrounded the American aviator's fate amid intense speculation as to what happened to her. Now, we did a story once that maybe there was a picture of her with some Japanese people, you know, like they had captured her or whatever.
I've heard that before, too. Right. Yes. I mean, my own personal pet theory was she was afraid to get too close to the plane driving in front of her, and she eventually ran out of gas.
Someone told me she hit a curb trying to parallel park the plane. That's low hanging fruit right there. But Tony Romeo, a pilot and former U.S. Air Force intelligence officer, told the Wall Street Journal on Friday he may have solved the mystery after he collected a sonar image of what could be an aircraft as part of his quest to find Earhart. I want to say Earnhardt. She's not Dale Earnhardt.
She's got. That's how they knew it was her plane. It had a big old number three, yeah, number on, the three on the side.
But we couldn't find it. He may have. He's been looking for Earhart's plane.
Earhart.
Romeo, a South Carolina real estate investor who sold his business to fund his search for her plane wreckage, posted the images on Instagram. The images show a blurry mass that could just about be seen as being plane-shaped. He told the journal, he would now try and get better images. So that's what he posted.
Oh, yeah. That's clearly Amelia Earhart's plane.
I see her. She's laying right there beside it. You got to check the links in the show notes if you want to get
And you're sure that's not a steal from like Pixar's Elemental movie.
He said, "This is maybe the most exciting thing I'll ever do in my life. I feel like a 10-year-old going on a treasure hunt. If true, the discovery would be a remarkable achievement, but there have been numerous other attempts to solve the mystery of her disappearance." In 2018, a forensics analyst of bones found on the remote Pacific island of Nikumuroro strongly suggested they belonged to Earhart. The bones had been found in 1940, yet initially assumed to be a male. But new analysis of the results for the remains themselves and the bones have disappeared, suggesting their measurements were female and similar to what would have been expected if they belonged to her. Anyways, it goes on to talk about some more things. And then, like the Guardian always does, wants you to give them money.
Right.
But they may have found her plane.
But look, I don't want to be that guy. But if this is a plane, that could be anybody's plane. Right? Well, there's a lot of planes that went down in the Pacific.
What about that Malaysian flight that disappeared?
Yeah, I find that far more mysterious.
That's definitely mysterious.
That thing went missing in a day when we had like
everything.
Radar.
Yeah, and
tracking and all that stuff.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to this lady. She definitely didn't make it around the world. But it's a big world. So
that we know found of. It. Maybe what if she did?
And she's been living
and she just
obscurity ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so.
They say I doubt it, but
they say she was a lesbian. So
do they say that?
Some people do.
I thought she
wore pants and had short hair. That's the number one sign of a lesbian, right?
Yeah, but she also fell in love with Ben Stiller in Night at the Museum too. So
that's lesbian actions too.
All I'm saying is maybe she's bi.
A biplane. Some people say that. Who knows?
You know, I don't know.
You know, everybody loves to look back on history and prescribe their own, you know, like we like to think of Robert E. Lee as a noble man, you know?
Right.
Well, he maybe kind of was, and he maybe kind of wasn't. So, we love to do that. But anyways, I hope this dude found her plane. It'd be kind of cool. I don't know how they're going to get it up from the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, though.
I mean, I'd tell you how they're going to do it. He's going to raise money on some Kickstarter or something.
He better not use that submarine. Them dudes are looking at the Titanic in.
Did you hear that joke? Dave Chappelle said he was going for his what is it, his 50th or something, he was going to, or maybe it was his 70th, he was going to take a submarine to go see that submarine.
Yeah. When they showed the inside of that submarine, I was like, there's no way I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're having to sit Indian style for hours. My legs would be asleep in like 20 minutes.
Right.
Like, dudes, I got to stand up. Y'all got to let me stand up. Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Huh. All right. Well, my next story here is a Colorado pastor accused of pocketing $1.3 million in a crypto scheme.
Okay.
His defense is the Lord told us to. I mean, he's not very original.
No.
There's a lot of things that have been done because someone said the Lord told him to.
I feel like a pastor that's into crypto is right up your alley, though, Tiny.
Like, he is until he starts trying to get me to invest in God coin. Because that's one letter different than odd coin. That's right. My idea.
It's trademark infringement.
A Colorado-based pastor for an online church. Oh, he's an online church. That's perfect.
Yeah, there you go. That's what happens when you got these preachers on the screens.
Accused of pocketing $1.3 million through a cryptocurrency fraud scheme, told followers in a video statement that the Lord told him to do it. Eli Regalado and his wife marketed their cryptocurrency, INDX coin. Is that an X coin, maybe?
INDX, index.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, index coin. To Christian communities in Denver, saying that God told him people would become wealthy if they invested.
There you go.
The Colorado Division of Securities said in a statement Thursday, Index coin raised nearly $3.2 million, the securities division said. At least $1.3 million of that went directly to the pastor or was used for their own personal benefit, said a complaint filed Tuesday in Denver County District Court. The Relegados could not be reached for comment. In a video statement to his followers last week, he said the charges that they pocketed, $1.3 million, are true.
Okay.
Out of the $1.3 million, half a million dollars went to the IRS and a few hundred thousand went to a home remodel that the Lord told us to do. So, of course. The couple also allegedly spent their investors' funds on a Range Rover, luxury handbags, jewelry, and au pair. What's that?
That's like a nanny. That's a fancy name for a nanny.
Okay.
Yeah. That's when you don't have a mama around to watch your kids.
Gotcha.
You get an au pair.
Boat rentals and snowmobile adventures, according to the complaint. The couple were charged with violating anti-fraud provisions under the Colorado Securities Act. Colorado Securities Commissioner Tung Chan said she filed the civil fraud charges after she was approached by people who invested and lost money through index coin. We allege that Mr. Relegado took advantage of the faith and trust of his own Christian community and that he peddled outlandish promises of wealth to them when he sold them essentially worthless cryptocurrencies, Chan said in a statement. Relegado claimed that God told him investors would become wealthy if they put money into index coin, promoting it as a low-risk, high-profit investment pegged to the average value of the top 100 cryptocurrencies. In reality, index coin was illiquid and practically worthless, the security division said in a release. The cryptocurrency was available only in Kingdom Wealth Exchange, which the Relegados shut down, and it can no longer be sold anywhere. This is a quote from one of his investors. We took God at his word and sold. Oh, no, I take the that's this. OK, this is the pastor here. Quote. We took God at his word and sold a cryptocurrency with no clear exit, he said in the video. What we're believing for still is that God is going to do a miracle. I mean, that's what it would take.
Yeah, definitely.
To get this thing to start trading. God is going to work a miracle in the financial sector. In the comments on his video, dozens of people continue to reassure him that God will turn the situation around. Anyway, it goes on, but that's the deal. Pastor, he found investors to buy his worthless cryptocurrency, Which, FYI, unless it's got its own chain, it's not a coin. It's technically a token.
Okay.
So.
I don't know. But the one thing I do know is that Christians are dumb for the most part.
Yes.
And that if you tell them God said something, they'll do it. That's how people get cults all the time. So.
Yeah. No one ever goes to like the Bible. Yeah. What God actually said.
Sure.
And just quick cross reference.
Right.
If God told you this, it should be in this book.
Sure. Well, back to Adam and Eve. One of the things I pointed out in Sunday school was the whole time the devil's talking to Eve, at any point she could have been like, God, can I get a clarification on this right here? He's saying a lot, you know. Adam could have too. They just didn't do it. They went right along with it. And, I mean, God was pretty tight with them then. He liked to hang out with them in person. So they could have just been like, hey, buddy, is this guy feeding me a line of bull here about this apple? You know? Yeah. We've been falling for stuff for a long time. And that's how it goes. I mean, I appreciate his moxie. I wish he wasn't doing it in the name of the Lord. It makes a lot of us look bad.
Right.
It makes all the people that are sitting on the fence going, they want my 10% to get a new house or whatever.
Instead, you should buy Oddcoin.
Sure.
Satan told me to. If it don't work out, blame him.
That's what I was going to say is I've just received word from the Lord that you need to join the Patreon. He spoke to me and said, that's the first clue right there. When people are like, God spoke to me. That's when I'm immediately like, hold up.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can believe you after this point. You know, that should be a tip off for everybody.
My mom taught me that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're the one who said, she said Josiah was going to be a girl.
My mom taught me that because she used to get me to do all kinds of stuff when I was young, telling me God told her this and that.
Right.
And then one day you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. That's probably why I could never get in a cult, is because the first time they're like, well, God told me last night that we all need to, you know, be barefoot and go work in the garden. I'd be like, hold up. You know, and number two is when the leader's like, hey, God told me I need to sleep with your wife. Say,
that's not far behind.
No, yeah.
Like, once, step one is you get, you need to sell all your possessions.
Exactly.
And give the money to me,
right?
I.e., the ministry here.
Yeah. Once I see you're dumb enough to do that, the next step is God told me that I need to sleep with you. I need to take your wife to be one of my wives.
Yeah.
And that's when I'd be like, well, I'm leaving. You know, like if Deidre wants to stay, that's on her. But I'm out. I'm not going to be a party to this.
Pretty sure God didn't tell you that.
Yeah. That'd be my first thing is, hey, he hasn't told me that.
Jesus specifically said, right here, here's the reference. Yeah,
let me show
you. God has joined together, let no man separate.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They get them all the time, though.
Mm-hmm.
It would be so easy to start a cult. I don't know why we haven't yet.
We say it's easy, but I mean, is it? I mean, look,
you got some land out in Buell. We just need to start a commune out there.
I'll give it the old college try.
Sure. Yeah. Your brother Tiny, the cult leader.
Father.
Father Tiny. I'll just be your little right-hand man working in the shadows. Yeah. You know?
Say you're in charge of keeping everyone in line.
Yeah. I'm taking everybody's money and all that stuff. Yeah.
About this? The Lord speaks to me through my Steam Deck. I play video games and I get a revelation from the Lord. And then it's your job to take those orders and go and give to the...
I'll be the Aaron to your Moses.
Yes. Like,
Tiny just defeated Paperboy. And the Lord told him, all women must come into us. Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
We can pull it off. People are so dumb. All right.
Real quick, I mean, I know we need to move on, but did you ever watch, there was a Netflix show, I think Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
No.
Okay, the show was her and like three other women. Some cult leader tricked him into going into his bunker. Okay. And like had him down there for 10 years believing that the world had ended. Nice. And there was this crank that they would constantly, one of them was turning this crank and it was giving them fresh oxygen.
Okay.
But they found out that actually it was a generator. It was like powering a TV in his secret room. Chambers.
Was it a comedy?
Yeah, it was a comedy.
Okay. Okay, good. That's a good comedy. Yeah. Did you ever watch the TV show Lost?
Okay, I think I saw like a few episodes of the first season, but I was never like into it.
Okay, it's a pretty good show.
Okay.
One of my favorite shows. The ending's not the greatest, but one of the things they had to do in there, like on one of the episodes or seasons, mm-hmm. it's been so long since I watched it, because I watched it when it originally aired on the TV, was they had to hit a button like ever so often to keep the world from self-destructing. Yeah. And it just turned out that the button didn't do anything.
Of course it did.
Sure, right. I mean, that's just how it goes.
Was there anyone on the island to tell them that they needed to keep pushing the button?
The show was so complex, I can't break it down.
Okay,
I got you. But you should definitely watch it. It's a pretty good show.
Is it streaming anywhere?
I have no idea.
I might give it a shot. Oh, and
that's like a 20-year-ago memory, so it may be horrible. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I finished that show, and I think we talked about this in the patron show, but 1883.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you didn't start watching it. Okay, well, don't.
Okay.
Because it is super sad.
Oh, okay.
And I know you don't like sad stuff.
I don't like
sad
at all. No, I like to pretend sad stuff doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you finished Empire of the Golden Moon?
No, I think I'm on like chapter 9 now.
Oh, wow. Slow going, Tiny.
Well, I'm back on day shift. So.
Okay. Okay. You can't listen to it on day shift?
No.
Boss man come around?
We're not allowed to use our like headphones.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Tell him you'll scalp him. I don't mess with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Like I said, let's talk about more idiots. A class action lawsuit accuses Dunkin' of, this is Dunkin' Donuts, of discrimination. You want to know why?
Why?
For charging extra for non-dairy milk alternatives.
I mean, you could just drink dairy, right?
Yeah.
It takes a lot of almonds to squeeze milk out of their little teats.
You ever try to milk an almond? That's an all-day process. Dunkin' is facing a class action lawsuit asking for at least $5 million in damages from a group of plaintiffs accusing the coffee giant of discriminating against customers who suffer from lactose intolerance and milk allergies by charging them extra for non-dairy alternatives.
Oh, gosh.
The 25-page lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court in Northern California. Of course, it's in Northern California. Says when the plaintiffs visited Dunkin' coffee shops, they ordered drinks that included milk as part of the regular menu item and were charged up to $2.15 for them to be made with non-dairy alternatives, specifically soy, oat, coconut, and almond milk.
I mean, I don't know the economics behind it. That does sound like a crazy upcharge.
No, not at all. I don't know.
Not at Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, you got to think, they're going outside of their regular operating procedures to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, usually if somebody just wants some cream, they probably have a little thing you pump, put right. cream in there.
And you get it in like a big old huge, like 50-gallon
yeah,
drum.
Right. Yeah, they buy it by, the million, million gallon container of it or whatever. So the cost is probably higher for all these other things. You know, almond milk's expensive.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is it that? I mean, I guess it is. I don't know.
I have no idea.
She was doing almond milk there for a little while.
Oh, yeah?
And then
she decided
was like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
So,
of course it's dumb. Drink cow's milk like a real human. The only people who drink milk from another animal.
Right.
The humans. It's because we can't. All right. It continues to say that Dunkin' will modify its regular beverage offerings to remove caffeine or make caffeine-free beverages at no additional charge for persons with a variety of conditions, including hypertension, and will alter sugar content of drinks for those persons with diabetes or who need to control weight. Dunkin' advises customers to inform the server if there is a food allergy and informs them that their products may contain or may have come in contact with allergens, the lawsuit says. However, they only accommodate those with lactose intolerance or allergies to milk by imposing a surcharge. The lawsuit claims that those conditions are disabilities, and by charging more for drinks with non-dairy alternatives, Dunkin's conduct violates the American with Disabilities Act and other state anti-discrimination laws. Dunkin' didn't immediately respond to requests for comment Tuesday.
Probably
from Fox
because
Business.
It's a stupid thing to respond to.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I haven't looked at their books, but I don't think they're taking advantage of people. I mean, maybe they are some, but I don't think it's about their disability or anything like that. It's just because it costs way more.
That's what I would think Dunkin's going to say, is there is an extra cost to provide these services, and we're only recouping that from the people who are requesting them.
Mm-hmm.
So get wrecked.
Just use like the non-dairy powder creamer. Or drink it black.
Drink your coffee black, and none of this is a problem. Now, I drink my coffee black. I'm not I drink black coffee that makes me a better man than other people. There are people like that. They're black coffee people can be a bit militant. They're the MAGA of coffee drinkers. I don't associate with them. The only reason I drink black coffee is when I started drinking coffee, which is only about 5 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
When I quit drinking soda and tea and stuff, I was like, well, I need caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
And Dieter, same thing. She'd never drank coffee either. We both were like, well, we'll just drink coffee. And Dieter was like, well, I'm going to get, French vanilla creamer and all this stuff. And I was just like, that's too big of a hassle. I've gotten used to drinking beer. I've gotten used to drinking liquor. I can get used to drinking black coffee just to avoid the hassle. Because the panic she goes through, when she is getting low on cream, like at night, she'll realize, I don't have a lot of creamer for in the morning. Can somebody go to the store? Now, I'm always the one that goes to the store. I still suffer the consequences. But, if we're out backpacking and I want to drink some coffee because I take instant coffee with me, I don't want to have to tote creamer and all that stuff too. I just boil my little water in a jet full and pour my instant coffee in it, stir it up and drink it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And yeah, it's bitter and it doesn't taste great, but I've got some moonshine over there at my house that tastes way worse than black coffee. So, that's how it goes. Yeah, I would say that was Dunkin's thing, is there are other ways you can go without getting an upcharge, and that would be to drink your coffee black. We probably have some powdered non-dairy stuff for a lot cheaper. But if you want coconut milk and almond milk and all that, there's going to be an added cost to it because we have to pay more for it.
Right.
And we're not a charity. People forget that about businesses. We are here to make money. When we bought that car today, one of the things that we had to sign, when I say we, I mean Dieter, because everything's in my baby mama's name, all right?
Okay.
Nothing's in my name.
Smart.
Yeah, it was a form that was said, we are making a profit on this. You have to acknowledge this in written form. And I was like, of course you're making a profit. This is how the economy works. And she was like, you'd be surprised at the lawsuits people bring. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, cool.
Wow.
I was like, I'm fine with you making a little money. I don't want you to make a lot of money off of me. You make a little off of me.
Well, this is going to be my last story here. Missouri rule change would allow senators to challenge each other to a duel.
Beautiful. Bring it back. I want it.
A member of the Missouri Senate has proposed a rule change that, if passed, which it's not going to get passed.
It should get passed.
But I bet it won't.
Yeah, right.
Would allow senators to challenge each other to a duel. Senator Nick Schroeder put a motion to the state Senate to adopt a rule change allowing state politicians to settle grievances through physicality. His proposed amendment was posted on X, of course.
Sure.
And that's how we do things these
days. That's where the world converses, right?
By Missouri State Democrats, it read, "If a senator's honor is impugned by another senator to the point that it is beyond repair, and in order for the offended senator to gain satisfaction, such senator may rectify the perceived insult to the senator's honor by challenging the offending senator to a duel. The trusted representative, known as the second, if the offended senator shall send a written challenge to the offending senator, the two senators shall agree to the terms of the duel, including choice of weapons."
Heck yeah.
"Which shall be witnessed and enforced by their respective seconds."
Yeah.
In my mind right now, this is Andy and Dwight fighting over Angela.
I would say my choice of weapon would be slingshot.
Nice. Yeah.
I've considered getting really good at a sling like David, like using one of the, I saw a TikTok video of a dude just murdering a sheet of metal with one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's cool. I want to practice that and get good. Yeah.
I'm thinking if it was like a little guy, I would like challenge like, you know, a 20-pound sledgehammer. You just got to dodge that one good swing.
That's right.
Yeah. And then he's all yours. "The duel shall take place in the well of the Senate at the hour of high noon on the date agreed to by the parties to the duel." James Murphy, Schroeder's chief of staff, told Newsweek, "Senator Schroeder is deeply committed to restoring a sense of honor in the Missouri Senate. While the idea of a duel may have been suggested in a metaphorical sense, the core message is about fostering respect and reminding members that the words used in a debate may have real consequences."
Oh, yeah. Okay. With sticks and stones.
"It is evident to new members of the Senate that the success of priority legislation is currently dependent on personalities, and old wounds are preventing important language from becoming law. Until personal disputes find resolution and true leaders step forward to be the first to put aside personal feelings for the betterment of Missouri, we will continue to suggest ways to find resolution." The move comes amid tensions within the state Senate. On Tuesday, Caleb Rowden, the leader of the Missouri Senate, removed several members of the Missouri Freedom Caucus, formerly known as the Conservative Caucus, from chairships of committees as the Republican faction continues to clash with leadership. It goes on. Let me see if there's anything else good in here. Let's see. Right now they're just complaining about the said caucus. The beginning of the 2024 legislative session in the Senate has been nothing short of embarrassment. The chamber, blah, blah, blah. No, that's it.
Okay. Well, I like the idea.
Yeah.
I would like to see senators dueling, or members of any body of Congress, state or national, because they do talk so much crap at each other.
I mean, I feel like the con in this could be that, you know, I mean, look, this isn't going to happen, but let's just say it did.
Right.
Like potentially, like a couple senators who are really good with slings or whatever.
Sure.
Could just you know,
start dominating.
Could just dominate and, yeah, you know, impose their will on everybody in the House.
Sure.
That said,
you don't have to accept a duel though. Well, if somebody challenges you to it.
Well, yeah, I guess not. Yeah. But I was thinking that. But now the pro is we got far less politicians.
Well, I was saying,
so maybe it'll work out to the good in the end.
Politicians dying is never a bad thing. That's a joke, by the way. Or I get on another watch list. Yeah, but yeah, you just talk so much smack. Like, what if, you know, Trump and Biden are debating and Trump's talking about Hunter being a crackhead or something, and Biden's like, "I challenge you to a duel."
I would love that.
Pistols at dawn or whatever.
I would love that.
That would be great. You'll talk about some riveting TV. Everybody's tuning in for that duel.
I mean, I would much rather watch that than watch them debate.
Absolutely. And, yes.
And I would rather watch that than go stand in line for an hour, yeah, to vote for someone who I know is going to win regardless because I live in the red state of Alabama.
Well, I mean, Biden's the most popular president U.S. history, so it doesn't matter.
Well, is Biden the most popular president ever, or is Trump the most unpopular president ever?
I think both. I think both.
Speaking of Trump, did you see where he was ordered to pay $83 million?
Yeah, that lady.
To some lady who claims, what, back in the 90s that he raped her in some dressing room?
Right.
In the mall?
Here's the thing.
Or in a department store?
That judgment isn't that he raped her. It's that he defamed her.
It's that he said something mean about her on Truth Social, and then all his MAGA people came after her.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, look, okay, you can hate Trump. That's fine.
Right.
But this is not just. This is ridiculous.
I would think, all right, I kid about Trump a lot. All right. I don't want anybody to think I'm a MAGA guy or anything. He's hilarious, number one. I like that about him.
He is entertaining.
He's funny. He's so funny. But I don't know how any reasonable person doesn't look at all of this, even leaving the January 6th stuff out of it, and go, they're weaponizing the justice system against this guy, you know? And that doesn't seem right to me.
Did you see that quote from Kamala Harris where she was being interviewed and she was saying, we can't elect Trump because he'll weaponize the justice system?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yes. He's going to do to us what we're doing to him. Right. We can't elect him. We
can't have that. We're the only ones that can do that. We're the cool ones. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's got to pay whatever, $83 million to this lady. Good for her. You know, I'm glad she got it out of him, whatever. Yeah. He says he's a billionaire. That's nothing to him. Yeah. So, yeah. But
little known fact, Donald Trump raped me in 1993 in a Arby's drive-thru.
Yeah, I need him to talk smack about me.
I'll be happy with $1 million.
Right. Yes.
You don't have to go deep in your wallet for that.
Yeah, no, man, just hand it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elon Musk, too. He did it. He did it. He got me in the cornhole. I'm still traumatized.
They were in Subway, and John said he got the $5 footlong.
Jared Fogle was watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring it on. Say something bad about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I've said many times, Donald Trump ain't lost one wink of sleep over John Long. I ain't going to lose any over him. But this all seems a little shady. They opened this law up for like 1 year where people could go back and sue everybody for past trauma or whatever without statute of limitations being. And it's got a lot of people in trouble.
Hmm.
But I think they did it specifically for Trump.
Just for him.
Yes.
They should have put that in the rule.
Yeah.
This is just for people to go after the former president. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. So, yeah, it whatever. You know, it's all a sham anyway.
It's just wild.
Yeah, everything. It's and all I mean, wild.
Look, American politics has been wild for a long time.
Oh, for forever. They used to duel.
I know. Yeah. It's just, it continues to be.
Yeah, it's just, it's the
greatest
America.
Show on earth.
It is. It's the greatest show on earth. What a great way to put it. Well, let's talk about a heartwarming story now. A woman gives birth in a McDonald's parking lot, and their name's her newborn son, McFlurry.
Nice.
25-year-old. I'm going to spell this before I say it.
Okay.
A-N-A-L-Y-S-I-A. Analysia.
I see unique names running the family.
25-year-old Analysia. I think Dietrich and I bought some Analysia at the drugstore one time about when we first got married.
I wanted to try Analysia one time, but Tara said no.
I say she wasn't into it. 25-year-old Analysia Beck gave birth to an 8-pound, 6-ounce baby boy in the backseat of her SUV. It was my worst nightmare, Beck told Today. I'm still in shock. It was pretty intense, husband Daniel Beck added while speaking to Today. Per the network, at approximately 11 p.m. on January 11th, Analysia Beck began experiencing mild contractions while she was 38 weeks along in her pregnancy. The 25-year-old brushed the contractions off as Braxton Hicks, which the Cleveland Clinic defined as irregular and less intense. Everybody knows what that is if you've had a baby.
Right.
All right. Annalisa went to sleep, but was abruptly awoken by painful contractions just before her water broke.
Wait, she went to sleep in the SUV?
They were at home. Yeah, I think they got off or they got home or something.
Okay.
I don't know. It doesn't say. She could have went to sleep in the SUV. All right. So she got painful contractions just before her water broke. The couple left for the hospital as soon as Annalisa Beck's mother arrived at the home to watch over the couple's two-year-old JC and 17-month-old Aubriella. We were in the car for like 2 minutes when I was like, Daniel, you have to pull over. I feel like I'm sitting on a baby's head.
Oh, my gosh.
At that point, I knew he was coming, and we weren't going to make it to the hospital. Daniel Beck turned into a McDonald's parking lot and dialed 911 around 3:55 a.m. while Annalisa Beck climbed into the back of the SUV, according to Today. The couple told the outlet that it had been snowing hard at the time. I pushed three times, and he came out. The paramedic barely made it, but they were there to catch him. Annalisa Beck told the network the first thing she noticed about her newborn son was that he was blue. I think it was because of how cold it was. Snow was blowing into our car and it got on his face. Luckily, he was totally healthy and everything was fine. He passed all his tests at the hospital. The couple chose to name their newborn son Micah, but told Today they've been calling him Little McFlurry after.
Okay, so they didn't actually name
him. No, that's his rapper name. After the fast food chain's fan favorite dessert. Between the blizzard and McDonald's, we think it's very fitting, Annalisa told Today. So, what a heartwarming story.
Hmm.
I'm disappointed none of my kids were born in McDonald's. I don't know why you didn't name him Mac for Big Mac. You know?
Yes, that's an excellent point.
Yeah. I mean, he's Micah, right? That's close to Mac. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's Mick. That's a slur for Irish people.
Is it really?
I think. Isn't it Irish people that. They call Micks?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm probably getting canceled just for saying that.
Well, I am Irish, so I should probably be mad, but I have no idea.
You didn't know there was a slur for you guys?
I mean, I figured there was, but I didn't know that's what it was.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. They say they come quicker as you have them. I don't know. All of Deidre's were C-section.
Mm-hmm.
They're all planned. I mean, even Thomas was born on his exact due date. So, but we were there at the hospital when it happened. So,
right.
Yeah. We never had to experience anything like that. So, I don't know. But they say if you have one, the next one's easier or it comes faster and the third, you know, so on and so forth. So,
I've heard that.
Yeah. But, I would hate to have to get that SUV detailed. I bet it's a little messy back there.
I bet it's a 2004 Ford Explorer.
What if it's like a little Geo Tracker?
Maybe.
That would be the best.
In my opinion, in my mind's eye, it is a 2004 Ford Explorer, and it's like kind of a dark blue, and the paint's peeling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a mismatched quarter panel on the front.
Yeah, know? Maybe like some primer on the hood.
Yeah, right. A little bit of Bondo on the door.
Yeah. And Fleury's going to love NASCAR when he gets of age.
He's going to be a big fan of it. You can never tell this kid no when he wants a Happy Meal, though, I think.
Yeah.
He has a lifetime pass. You got to give that kid free McDonald's. Come on, Ronald. Let's get together.
I was about to say, McDonald's not going to give him free.
Nah, never.
No.
Hold on. I got a text from my wife. I got to take Hudson to school tomorrow. Yay. All right.
He don't have a driver's license yet.
Well, yeah, he doesn't have a driver's license yet. And then Thomas is playing the county high has this thing called Showcase every year where their chorus department puts on a show at the Bama Theater. Mm-hmm. And so Thomas is playing in the band that's playing for some of the numbers, and they're practicing tomorrow at Bama at 8 a.m. So, yeah. We went last year. We're going this year, too, unfortunately. I wasn't that impressed with the singing talent at County High. I'll just say that much.
Hmm. Well, maybe they'll have someone better this year.
Doubt it. I doubt it. But what was strange is the people in the crowd are acting like it was American Idol. You know, I mean, they were screaming, cheering like it was the greatest thing ever. And me and Dieter were there, were like, this is not that good.
Well, this is their version of Little League baseball.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, I think so. Maybe we're just a little more musically critical than most people are, I think. But, you know, our choir was singing like, you know, Handel's Messiah and, you know, Schubert's Mass in G and stuff when we were in high school.
Can we please get the show where once the high school does their whatever it is they do, like it cuts to you and Deidre, like a panel of judges.
We're like,
where you sit there like Simon Cowell and you talk about how terrible they did.
We're the two old curmudgeons of the Muppets up in the balcony.
John's like, hey, kid, whatever your name is, what's your GPA?
Yeah, she'd be like, it's a little pitchy dog. And I get it. I get it. Some of the kids are, you know, it may be their first year in choir or whatever else. But, you know, we had a really strong music program growing up where I grew up. And at Fayette, it's wild to think about that little bitty town, but I mean, we had an amazing, I could bring recordings in if you want to play on a podcast and people think I'm lying. We were great. And it was great for years, you know, I mean, when my parents were, well, my dad went to Barry, when my mom was in band and all that, it was the same thing. And yeah, it's just a little disappointing. I would say County High has the best music program of any of the schools in the county, though. So,
and it's still lousy.
Well, their choir program just isn't that good.
Okay.
They would have never let anybody on our stage that couldn't, you know, sing in key or whatever.
Right.
And they were like singing out of key and people were cheering like it wasn't nothing wrong with it. I was like, we're not at church. We don't have to cheer. Because we've all been there at church, you know, Sister Martha gets up and sings a solo, and it's not that great. And everybody's got to be like, yeah, you did great, honey, because it's church.
I was at a church service one time, and there was a man who was going to sing a special. He was going to sing God Bless the USA.
Okay.
It was right around 4th of July.
Sure.
And this man is special, and so they were... They didn't have his microphone cut up.
Yeah.
And they were letting the lyrics play through the speaker. And he was up there singing, but they didn't have his mic turned on.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Because, you know, it's for him.
Sure.
And immediately, bless her heart, one of the older ladies in the church stood up and looked back to the sound booth and was like, I can't hear him. His mic's not on. Turn him up. I can't hear him.
No. I'm about to. One Sunday at Carroll's Creek, this guy showed up out of nowhere. Your father-in-law knew him. I imagine he was like at one of your father-in-law's previous church.
Okay.
Just showed up. Him and his wife sat on the front row, and then he got up and sang a song. Did an adequate job. I don't even remember the song.
Right.
And, you know, I remember Brother Alan was like, you know, thank you, Brother Tiny, or whatever his name was. You know, it's so great to see you. Glad to have you here, brother in Christ, blah, 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 all that good stuff. Guy sits back down on the front row, proceeds to nod off during the entire sermon. Because we were sitting right behind him on the second row. It was when we were on the second row over on your side where y'all used to sit.
Right.
And he was right in front of us. And the whole time, the dude just nodded off like he was on heroin or something. I don't think he was on heroin, but that's what it reminded me of.
Nice.
I think about that a lot. I was like,
he left an impression.
Well, I was just like, how can you show up at an old, you know, probably mentor's church and go, I want to sing a special. get up and sing, and then proceed to fall asleep during the sermon the whole time. His wife kept nudging him and everything.
Man.
It's crazy. Anyways. That has got nothing to do with Cajun Curl Bayou Blended Spice. We want to thank them for their support. Check them out at CajunCurl.com. You can order the spice right there on the website. It was created on the Elm Bayou in Evangeline Parish, Louisiana, and it's a seasoning that goes on everything. If you like cooking or eating, this is a spice for you. Cajun Curl Bayou Blended Spice goes well with chicken, beef, pork, potatoes, and anything else you can think of putting it on. Cajun Curl Bayou Blended Spice on anything will change your life. On their website, CajunCurl.com, you can order the original Bayou Blended Spice, and you'll also find recipes that are absolutely mind-blowing. You can locate your nearest retailer or order your own. If your local grocer doesn't carry world-famous Cajun Curl Bayou Blended Spice, ask them to start stocking it now. Here locally, it's available at Vowels Fresh Market on Skyline Boulevard, South's Finest Meats, Mark's Mart in downtown Northport, the Piggly Wiggly in Taylorville, and allegedly the Piggly Wiggly on Lurleen Wallace. Although my mom said it was out of stock last time she was there. Don't know if Brandon's got that covered yet. All their products are made in the USA, so not only do you enjoy the taste of Cajun Curl, but you also feel patriotic while you enjoy your meal. It's all natural, low salt, has a little kick to it, but it doesn't burn your lips. World famous Cajun Curl Bayou Blended Spice. Taste the spice, but not the heat. Check them out at CajunCurl.com and use our promo code EOP10 to get a 10% discount.
Because we ask that you use the spice, we don't ask you to pay full price.
That's right.
All right, let's go to questions. We have some questions here.
Okay. Yeah,
if you have any questions for us, you can go to our Discord server, link in the show notes, or you can go to our website. That's earthoddity.net, and you can submit them to us straight from there. Our first question comes from Anonymous.
Okay.
And they say, hey, John, would you choose to be the worst player on a winning team or the best player on a losing team?
That's a tough one. I would say worst player on a winning team. I was never athletic. You know, I mean, I played sports for 3 years in high school. You know, by my senior year, I was just like, this ain't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some pretty good teams. And I liked being on a team more than anything because you're just hanging out with the dudes and it's just fun. So I would rather be in a winning environment than a losing one.
I feel like at various times in my life, I have been on, I've been in both of these spots. Yes,
right.
And I will say, the time I was the best player on a losing team, ooh, that was a bad losing team.
Yeah, right.
I mean, bad.
Well, that's got to be tough, too, when you're toting the water and everybody else is no good.
Well, it's cool because you do get to play.
Yeah, true.
You know, so that's fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're the worst player on a winning team, well, you may not be getting.
No, yeah, you're not getting.
You may be sitting over there on the bench a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. But then you become the fan favorite bench player, you know?
Nice.
And that's fun.
Yeah.
And when you get in a blowout, everybody goes nuts for you. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just like being on a team. It was always just fun to me. It was all, of course, Fayette was a little different because you were already friends with everybody, but it was just extra time to hang out and hijinks would ensue and pranks and all that good stuff. So, yeah.
Next question. What top two sporting events in history would you like to have witnessed in person?
Oh. All right. The 1992 SEC championship game. I would have liked to have been at that one. Just because that's that changed college football for forever.
That would have been a pretty big deal.
And it was a great win. I mean, I watched it on the TV, but it would have been great to be there in person. Now, if you talk to people from Alabama, 8 million people were at that game in a stadium that only holds 77,000. But I would have liked to have been at that one. So that's number one. Number two is tough. I would probably pick Dale Earnhardt's first win at the Daytona 500.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. People don't know I like NASCAR.
Nice.
NASCAR's fun. I don't follow it as closely as I used to,
mm-hmm.
But me and my dad, after church on Sundays, used to watch NASCAR races all the time. Back when Dale was huge and Dick Trickle was still driving and Mark Martin and all of them. And then after I kind of moved out, I got out of it. But when we went to Talladega on this trip, which we last year, which we're going back this year, it fired me back up for it. I love it. I love it. Yeah.
I think I would have taken the, like you, I would have done the 92 national championship too.
What a,
because that was, the entire world said Miami was going to mop the floor with Alabama.
You're saying national championship. I said SEC championship.
Oh, I was thinking national championship. Okay.
But national championship is a good, good call too. I'm glad we got both of them covered. Yeah.
The other one would be, was it 2012 when we played LSU? There was the game of the century, and then we replayed them. We replayed LSU in the national championship after the regular season.
That may have been 2012.
Uh-huh.
One part of me wants to say that was the year we played Notre Dame, but I'm not sure. But I know
maybe it was 2011 then.
Yeah, maybe it was 2011 and we played Notre Dame in 2012.
Maybe that's it, yeah.
People forget A.J. McCarron won back-to-back national championships at Alabama.
Okay, 2011 LSU national championship.
Yeah.
Specifically, the crystal after the game.
in Alabama. Well, you don't want to be, passed out.
Yeah.
For people who don't know. Hey, look.
There was an LSU fan who he had a little too much to drink.
Yeah.
And he went to Crystal.
This is a tough loss for the LSU fans.
As he put it himself, to get a sack full.
That's right.
And he got exactly what he went into that Crystal for.
We got some good fans for Alabama.
And we've got some bad fans.
We got some real bad ones. That's what happens when you're popular. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Let's see. Next question. Which do we need more of, justice or forgiveness? Ooh.
I would say forgiveness.
In my personal life, I would prefer more forgiveness.
Yeah, I that's really where that came from, too.
In society at large, I would like maybe some more justice.
I need all the forgiveness I can get.
Yeah.
So that's why I picked that one. Selfishly, I don't care if your house got broken into. I care if I broke into your house. I want you to forgive me.
Yeah. Also, I read a study one time. Actually, I didn't read a study. I listened to these people talk about a study one time.
Same difference. Yeah. That's pretty much reading a study.
Right.
Yeah.
And look, I don't know what all the methodology was, but they said that it's actually more beneficial. It's like psychologically better for the person. Like if you forgive someone, like it's better for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Forgiveness is really an act for yourself.
Right.
Not for the person who
hold on to grudges and you hold on to that hurt. It's like, well, we've heard it all said in movies. It's a poison.
Yeah. It really is. Yeah. Forgiveness is a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of maturity to be able to forgive someone. And that's something I really need to work on because I'm a big time grudge holder. I still hate Peyton Manning, you know? So, I mean, I should forgive Peyton for beating Alabama and leading a band and all that, but I hadn't got there yet. Sanctification is a process.
Sometimes a long process.
A very long one.
I guess this will be the last one we do. Since this is John's segment, I'll go ahead and ask John first. John, what's your favorite video game that you've ever played?
I mean, I wasn't ever a huge gamer.
Mm-hmm.
When I had a Nintendo, I really liked playing Paperboy. I really liked Paperboy. I played it a lot. When I was in college, I played GoldenEye a lot. That might be my all-time favorite. But I really loved Call of Duty World War II, even though I was no good at it, playing online, you know.
Right.
People kill me so fast, but it was fun. But I mean, hands down, if I had to pick, it'd probably be Red Dead Redemption 2.
That's a good one.
Gun to the head. That's probably, if they were like, you can only play one game for the rest of your life, that would probably be it.
You can play it forever.
Yeah. There's so much you could do. And all I really wanted to do was kill and skin animals. That's the only thing I wanted to do. I never finished the story, I don't think, in it. Because it was just like, I would rather just ride in the open country. I was a cowboy. I was just out being a mountain man, living it up, shooting bears and all kind of stuff. Elk. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he says, okay, Tiny, since I think John would agree that you're the expert on this.
Definitely.
Absolutely. I would like to expand the question. Let's define electronic games as basically any game on a screen, whether it be arcade, video game, computer game, smartphone game, or whatever else you've played. Would you make the list for Tiny's all-time top three electronic games that you have ever played so far?
Okay. That's a big responsibility for you.
That's a tough question. That's like asking, what's the greatest movie ever made?
Mm-hmm. That would be Porky's.
Passion of the Christ. Everybody knows that.
You went with Passion of Christ. I went with Porky's.
Number two is Wayne's World. But, I don't know, if I was going to go like top three games, I'm going to say based on like the how it felt the first time I ever played, like just your first time experience.
Okay.
And I would say probably Final Fantasy VII and Metal Gear Solid are probably top two, maybe Halo after that.
Okay.
But if you're going on just like greatest games ever, like I feel like you kind of have to put Minecraft at the top.
Yeah, Minecraft's
because
fun.
They're are places in the world where certain books are banned, but you can read those books if you go to a certain Minecraft server. Go to the library and read those books online. It's really crazy what they've done with that.
Huh.
So,
yeah, Minecraft's a lot of fun.
And Tetris, man. I mean, who doesn't like to play Tetris?
Tetris is a good game.
Yes.
I enjoyed Tetris a lot. I had a knockoff Tetris that my parents bought me. It was like a handheld Tetris game that they bought at like Radio Shack that I would play like when we'd go to the beach or whatever in the car. I wore that thing out. Thank you, Mom and Dad.
It's a fun game.
It's a great game.
My wife, who is not a fan of video games in any way, shape, form, or fashion, she actually got my old Game Boy Color.
Oh boy!
For a while, and she would sit there and play Tetris on Game Boy.
I have Tetris on my phone, but it has ads on it, and I don't like it.
I mean, come on!
Yeah, I can't watch.
Yeah, I can't be watching ads when I'm trying to stack blocks.
Exactly,
it's ridiculous.
It's in between games, but still, you know. And Hudson's like, well, just close the game and reopen it. I'm like, well, that takes as much time.
That takes
as much time
as it is to watch the ads.
So I'm not doing that. Yeah. So I just don't play it that much. I usually get a one round in, and then the ad comes up. I'm like, well, I'm done.
I'm done with this.
Yeah, that was my one round this week. So,
did you see the story? I don't think we talked about this on the show, but the 13-year-old kid who beat Tetris.
I did see that.
That was crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy.
At this point, he's the only human.
Yeah.
It was believed that only computers could beat Tetris, but a 13-year-old kid in the Midwest somewhere did it.
I'm great for that dude.
Yeah.
I hate he's going to be a virgin for the rest of his life. But
you don't think that's going to get the chicks?
I doubt it.
They're going to be lining up.
I doubt it. But I don't know. You know, like it's a different world. Yeah. Girls are different now than they grew up in an electronic world. So they might think that's cool.
Hey, you can get a line right here.
Libby's been playing Fortnite.
Really?
Derek's son, who listens to the podcast, and another guy. And she'll be up there squealing all night long. She says she's really bad at it, you know. But I can hear her
hollering. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I know I would be bad at it just based on my Call of Duty experience. But yeah, she's getting into it. She plays all the time. So I was like, you're a gamer girl now. She's like, oh, no, I'm not, Dad. I'm like, yeah, you are. You're a gamer girl.
Me and the boys, we've gotten into this new game that just came out of nowhere called Pal World. Have you heard about this?
Pal World?
Pal World.
No, I haven't.
It's basically, it's like a crafting survival game.
Okay.
Like, you know, like Ark.
Thomas plays Ark.
Yes.
Yes.
Think that. With knockoff Pokemon in it.
Nice.
I mean, blatant Pokemon ripoff. That said, it's pretty fun.
Nice.
It's addicting.
Thomas loves that Ark game.
Yeah.
That was the only reason he bought the new PlayStation was to play Ark on it.
Only with better graphics.
Yeah. And he will get up in his room. I'll go up and lay on the bed sometimes because, you know, he's 18 and he don't need his dad for anything anymore.
Right.
He don't even have to talk to me most days. So I just go up there and watch him play. I don't understand what all he's doing. He's like, I'm breeding triceratops. You know? And in my mind, I'm just like, man, you're a nerd. But he's got a girlfriend, so I'm like happy for him. But yeah, he loves that game. Huh. He's been playing it for years.
Wow.
Yeah. And I watch him play it, and I'm like, this is the most ridiculous waste of time ever. You could be on a horse riding the open countryside. You could be down in Saint Denis killing crocodile or alligators. You could be
robbing a train.
Yeah. And you're breeding triceratops or whatever it is.
Well, I will say this. If you think that Ark game is ridiculous, you've got to look at how ridiculous Pal World is.
I'll tell him to check it out.
But I think the best thing I like about Pal World is the absolute furious reaction that Pokemon fans on Twitter have had to it. They hate it. I mean, to a passion, like they've like started like petitions online to try to get Nintendo to sue them, to try to get it shut down.
Yeah.
They've accused them of using like AI, artificial intelligence to design the game and all this stuff, which I don't know if they did or they didn't. But
who cares?
It honestly makes the game that much more fun to me to know that there's a bunch of weebs on the internet upset that I'm playing it.
Well, good for them.
Well, I guess that'll do it for questions this week. But one thing we need to do before we end this show is we need to thank our patrons. Seriously, we thank you guys so much for donating to our show and supporting what we do. We would like to thank by name those who donate at the 10 or above tier. And those fine individuals are Mr. Shiny Disco Balls, Mr. Shane White, Mr. Chris Payne, The Driver, Ms. Jane Updegraff, Ms. Sherry Heron, Ms. Sharon Craig, Mr. Tyler Bond, Mr. Todd Glover, Mr. Derek Reeves, Ms. Nicole Walter, and Mr. Mike Wilcox, a.k.a. McWheel. Thank you guys so much. If you would like to become a patron, you can head on over to patreon.com/earthoddity. We have several different tiers, but the $5 tier gives you an extended show. That's an extra show that we do after this one. And speaking of extensions, what do we got coming up with the extension today?
We're going to talk about a 56-year-old lady who will only date men in their 20s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I have a story about scientists who are training AI to be evil.
Okay.
And have discovered that they can't reverse it.
Oh, that sounds promising.
Yes. So, I mean, look, we've been talking about a cure for cancer.
Yeah.
The scientists have been looking for it.
Yeah.
Joe Biden even said if he was elected president that we would cure cancer.
I thought he was on top of that.
All that has to wait until we have evil AI.
Sure.
Once we have evil, satanic, artificial intelligence, then we can work on a cure for cancer.
Well, there we go.
You got anything else?
No, that's it.
Well, you've been listening to Earth Oddity Podcast, and we thank you so much for listening to us, no matter where you get us, whether you get us from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, we're on them all. If you would like to write into the show, we are earthoddity@planetmail.net. And you can also go to our website, that's earthoddity.net, and you can submit emails, questions, complaints, whatever, to us straight from there. If you would like to tweet at us on X, we are @_EarthOddity on X. You can check out our show art, that is _EarthOddity on Instagram. And we have a Discord server, link in the show notes, and a phone number that you can call or text. What's that phone number?
That's 662-493-2059, 662-493-2059.
We hope everybody out there has an excellent week. Earth Oddity for the Fringe Radio Network, signing off.
Love y'all.
Bye.
This has been a Very Odd production. Thanks for listening.
Hello, patrons. It's so good to be with you again. You know what I noticed as I was pulling up the list a minute ago from reading off the patrons is I still haven't posted the extended show.
Okay.
It's finished.
Yeah.
And I thought I had posted it, but I hadn't. So okay. It'll get
well, I should probably I apologize for derailing our recording schedule last week, but